Let us pray. Indeed, Lord God, we are an offering. We lift our voices, we lift ourselves to you. No matter how meek or fractured or broken, we lift them to you, and you, Lord God, use us. In these moments now, use my voice. Open our ears that your word may be proclaimed and heard here in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, I remember many, many things from my college experience. Very few of them, however, had anything to do with getting an education. Still, I do remember one religion class in particular, where we had a very spirited discussion about God's will and God's purpose and the events of our lives. You see, our professor, Dr. Glass, invited us to talk about the oft-quoted phrase, "Everything happens for a reason." What ensued was a conversation that went in many directions. There were comments from some that suggested that everything that happens for both individuals and in the greater collective experience of life and nations is part of God's preordained plan for the world. But then the question was asked, but what about free will? This then set us off into the nature of free will and exactly how much free will we have if everything is already planned out by God. Now, some suggested that our free will has limits. For example, God did not preordain what you were going to wear to church this morning. God does not preordain necessarily who wins ball games, and God does not preordain whether or not you choose to go to McDonald's, Subway, or Arby's. These kind of decisions, we concluded, were purely free will decisions, that God has no activity necessarily in them. But then the question was asked, where does this end? What about our choice of college, one person asked. He suggested that his choice of Lenoir Rhine was one that God must have chosen for him because it was at LR that he became a Christian. Another person asked if her experience of having a parent dying when she was very young and when they did not go to church or have faith, but which subsequently led their family into a church and a faith structure, was somehow part of God's plan for her salvation. And if so, was the death of her parent part of that plan and necessary? And if so, what does that suggest about God? Now, this is where things got really interesting for me, personally. And dare I say, life-changing. I remember vividly sitting at my desk in that class wondering, did I believe that God caused her parent to die so that she might come to faith? Was that part of some great plan? Was that the reason that her parent died? That moment is crystallized in my mind because it started me on a journey of discovering what it is that I faithfully believe and who I faithfully believe God to be. One time I thumbed through a book called Your God is Too Small. It was written by an English preacher by the name of J.B. Phillips. And in the book, Phillips suggests that we can at times put God in a box. He suggests that we attempt to capture God into our own worldviews instead of seeing God as one that is beyond us. That we attempt to control God by our doctrines and theologies. He suggests instead that often our God for us is too small. This reading influenced me toward ultimately what I believe about such matters. And this is what I have come to believe. I believe fully that God is omnipotent, meaning that God knows all things. At the same time, I believe that God has indeed given us free will, and that we are not merely puppets. And likewise, I believe that with free will comes the reality of sin, where we are at the whim of the brokenness of this world, where tragedies, sickness, and other struggles, both of our choosing and outside of our control, can at times have their way with us. I have also come to believe, however, that all of these are not mutually exclusive, nor that everything that happens in this broken world is necessarily of God's desire. For example, I believe that God knows every possible outcome of every possible decision that you could ever possibly make. And in faith, I believe that God can and that God does guide us in our lives toward God's purpose and will as we are open to the Holy Spirit in our lives. Still, the brokenness of the sin of this world can indeed influence us. We know that, both through our decisions and choices and through the whims of this fractured world, through disease or war or economic woes or relationship struggles or faith crises, that they indeed can impact our lives. But this is where I believe that the conversation in college, in my college class, really shaped my life. But I have also come to firmly believe that the truest example of God's omnipotent and gracious power is experienced in this faith conviction. That because of Christ and that in Christ, God can, God does, and God will still achieve God's purposes and will for this world and for our lives. God can, does, and will achieve God's purposes both through our free will decisions and in spite of the sin that fractures our world. I believe that God takes our free will decisions, that God takes the calamities of the brokenness of this world that befall us. And I believe God still works good, healing, reconciliation, and hope into all circumstances, all of them. A reading about Joseph this week indeed says this, I believe, loud and clear. God takes Joseph's experience of being sold into slavery. God takes his experience of being falsely accused and sent to prison. God takes all of this, and God then builds from it hope, reconciliation, promise, and healing, so that indeed through the story of Joseph, God brings about who he is as part of the great promise that God made with Abraham, that they will be a blessing to the world. And God indeed brings that about in the life of Joseph. So much so that at the end Joseph said, "So it was not you who sent me," he says to his brothers, "sent me here, but God." Friends, in our own lives, is it not true that looking back on situations and circumstances that we too can see the fingerprints of God in our own experience of new life? Can we not point to experiences in people being shaped by God in Christ who have used their giftedness as God used Joseph's giftedness to bring wholeness to us and to others, to rescue us from times of captivity, danger, failure, and doubt? Likewise, can you not also see where God has used you to be a blessing for others or for another in the midst of their own struggle and pain? I am convinced, friends, that this is the greatest gift of the community of faith. People wonder, why join a church? Why be a part of organized religion? Well, the reason we are part of organized religion is because in the community of faith, we experience God most fully through the giftedness of those who surround us and walk this journey with us, where reconciliation and hope and meaning is found in the gift of community. Friends, this is what I believe God is all about. And this is who I believe God to be. Now, one could indeed ask, did God cause all things that happened to Joseph? Did God cause all of those so that the Hebrews would somehow get to Egypt and eventually through Moses to the promised land? Indeed, it could have been part of God's plan all along. Still, it could also be that God divinely works through those decisions and circumstances of our broken world. Sibling rivalry, political intrigue, national crisis, natural disaster. And God can still bring about His salvation vision for the people who will bless the world. One could indeed ask, did God cause my classmate's friend, my classmate's parent to die, so that she might find faith? Indeed, it could have been part of God's plan all along. Still, it could also be that God is indeed the one true source of power that does not abandon us to the tragedies of this world. That God instead is the only true power that can stand with us in such times of distress and sadness. And then through the giftedness of those people who surround us and through the power of prayer, encounter and empower this young family to seek and find strength, courage, hope in Christ when nothing else could make a difference. Friends, of the two visions, my journey has led me to gravitate toward the latter, because I believe this vision articulates an image of God that is bigger than anything that I could ever imagine, whose possibilities for shaping my life and your life, for changing my life and your life, are so vast and so mind-blowing that we can do nothing but be on our toes on the lookout for the God on the loose. It says that at God's core being, God is the one who will achieve what God wants to achieve within and through all of the brokenness, poor decisions, and peculiarity of God's people. It says that God is big enough to be God enough over all that happens to us, within us, and because of us. It says that God is big enough to be God enough to never abandon us to our foibles and our struggles that thrust us into times of uncertainty and doubt. And friend, it makes perfect sense to me, perfect biblical sense, that Jesus is that which punctuates this most fully. God comes down into our midst, enters our sinful and broken world, and the broken and sinful world puts Jesus on the cross. Yet amidst and through this tragedy, God then does what God does. God makes this singular tragedy into victory over sin and death, victory over tragedy and suffering, victory over pain and helplessness. The very life of Jesus becomes hope and redemption and reconciliation for this world in all events and in all circumstances. Because you see, friends, when Jesus strolls out of the tomb on Easter Sunday, God isn't just raising Him. No, God is also raising you. God is raising you in hope from all of the deaths and all of the tragedies and all of the sicknesses and all of the broken relationships and all of the hardships and all of the pains of your life. God is raising you from being marked forever by your sin, by being marked forever by your brokenness, from being claimed fully by your choices and your decisions. God is continually about the work of raising you throughout all that you experience in this life. God is about raising you to new life. In the end, I do believe that there is an overarching plan and purpose of God. It is a purpose that only a God big enough and loving enough would ever dare attempt. One that only a God big enough and loving enough could ever achieve. It is a plan for the blessing of the nations. It is a plan for the healing and reconciliation of peoples. It is a plan, friends, for you to live life as God intends it to be lived, with joy, with hopefulness, and with faith. It is the plan of a great and mighty God who weaves all that happens into a purpose-filled tapestry of grace and peace. And you, friends, have always been a part of this plan. You are now a part of this plan, and you will be forever a part of this plan, because your God is big enough. Your God is God enough to not only change this world, but to change your life. In Jesus' name, amen.